Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Guys, before we start, next week we will start a new series entitled Living a Resurrected Life. And that will kind of walk us through some stories in the book of Acts about men and women whose lives have been transformed because of the Holy Spirit. But kind of bookended around this series, we will talk about Mother's Day today and Father's Day at the end of the series. Now, they won't go together with the series. And one reason is I kind of planned it that way because I have recently become a father and Stephanie has recently become a mother. So we gave birth. She did. I felt like I helped some. Like, I was breathing harder than she was. But I was coaching, helping, trying not to pass out in the doctors or the hospital. And so for us, this has become a massive just gut check and change in everything that we do. Everybody's in here, oh, everything in your life's going to change. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Well, everything in my life changed. So you guys are right. So just take that. For me, preaching on Mother's Day prior to this or any other time talking about moms was always kind of distant. Like I would talk about my mom, right? Because my wife wasn't a mother. And now that she is, that brings so much more weight to our family. And it doesn't make me push away from my wife, but rather it makes me lean into her even harder and stronger because her beauty is like so much more. And I don't mean she wasn't pretty before that. I just mean that now that she did that, you see the sacrifice of a mom. And to be honest, it was very hard for me to ever appreciate my mom until I saw Stephanie as a mom. And I can kind of fully do that, and this afternoon I will tell my mom that she was right on most everything that she said. And thank you for her sacrifice and service. So Kate today is 3 weeks, 5 days old. She is 648 hours old, if you care to know that. Or as I like to keep track with her, she is 341 diapers in. And this morning we had an unspeakable, which probably counted for about five. And I know how many diapers we have because we have an app for that. So parenting, training a kid has changed a little bit. But I read on Facebook, a mom had posted a little excerpt about what it means to raise a kid in the year 2017. So I'm just going to kind of share this and just read it out. She said this, how to be a mom in the year 2017. Make sure your children's academic, emotional, psychological, mental, spiritual, physical, nutritional, and social needs are met while being careful not to overstimulate, understimulate, improperly medicate, helicopter, or neglect them in a screen-free, processed foods-free, GMO-free, negative energy-free, plastic-free, body-positive, social-conscious, egalitarian, but also authoritative. Nurturing but fostering of independence, gentle but not overly permissive. Pesticide-free, two-story, multilingual home, preferably in a cul-de-sac, with a backyard, 1.5 siblings spaced evenly apart by 2 years for proper development, and also do not forget the essential oils. So, as I read this, I'm thinking, this is like crazy because everybody has an opinion on how things should be done. And then the girl put it at the very bottom, she says, how to be a mom in literally every other generation before ours? Feed them. So we have probably overcomplicated the issue of being a mom. And so as I have watched Stephanie and kind of just looked at her just as she has been so selfless through the whole process. Overwhelmed at times, but definitely selfless. I have noticed a few things that maybe I didn't notice prior. Being a mom, being a lady, being a woman in our culture is absolutely difficult. You face what the culture and social media and everything else kind of think that you should be and what you should be doing. And if we're not careful, ladies, what happens is this. You will start to find your identity in what everybody says. So you start to take like your value almost to start to become like whether it is weighty, good or not, depending on what the culture and the world tells you. And so what I would like to do today is walk through a text in Colossians where Paul will unpack a prayer for us. And so I want to kind of use this prayer and shoot it toward our ladies. And these are things that, ladies, you can pray for yourselves. These are things, men, don't you check out. This is for the ladies, but don't you check out. These are things, men, that you can pray over the ladies in your lives. And I pray that you would pray them over your wives, over your daughters, and over your sisters in Christ. That's my hope for today as we kind of step into this. And so I know that there are moms in here. There are people who are kind of like, all the kids are out of the house, but you're still a mom. There are those who are anticipating on being a mom. There are those who would desire to be a mom. So this message is for all the ladies. So I hope that you are encouraged, that you are strengthened. I've labored over this message for a lot this last couple of weeks. And it's harder to do that with a kid, but it has been a joy every step of the way. So I hope that this increases your joy. I hope that you are increased by this and that you know, if you didn't realize that you had an identity and it was in Christ Jesus, after you leave today, that's my hope. That you understand that and that you know that. This is for the underappreciated, undervalued, overworked, underpaid, not told thank you enough, maybe not pursued enough. This is for the ladies in here who are dealing with that. Because I know some of you are. And I want you to be encouraged and strengthened that if nobody else notices what you do in your labor, that your Father in heaven, He knows what you do. So, turn to me, Colossians chapter 1, and we will start in verse 9. But let me kind of set this up before we get to the text. Colossians falls between Philippians and 1 Thessalonians. Now, the church in Colossae was located modern-day Turkey. Okay? Paul writes the letter to this church. But what's kind of interesting about the letter, Paul has never himself ever been to this church. Nor will he ever visit personally the church at Colossae. He never visited, never been there. While he was preaching in Ephesus, which was about 100 miles west of modern-day Turkey, while he's preaching there, a man named Epaphras kind of comes under Paul's teaching. Here's the gospel, here's the good news, he is discipled, and he actually goes and plants the church in Colossae, and he has kind of wrote back to Paul, or sent word to Paul and said, hey man, we have all types of heresies and garbage that is being preached here. Can you write and respond to that? And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. Now, he's writing to Christians, so keep that in mind. But non-believers in this area have kind of told them that the gospel is not true. That your identity is not in Christ, but it is in the world. It is in the culture. It is in how much you make. Economic status. Social status. So Paul is writing to debunk all of that stuff so that the church there would be encouraged and lifted up in faith. So we will start in verses 9 through 12. I'm going to read the text for you. And then out of that text, I'm going to pull for you 6 prayers for our ladies today. Kind of out of that text, 6 prayers. Now, obviously, Paul's writing to men, women. He's writing to the church. He's not just writing to ladies, but I think there's a lot of things we can take from this text for the ladies. So Paul starts off with this salutation, this greeting, and then he does something a little different that he doesn't do in all the letters, is he kind of prays for them, and then he kind of goes into what they need to do. So we're going to focus in on the prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 reads this. You can follow along on the board. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're going to direct this toward the ladies today. So I got 6 prayers for you from the text. Here we go. First one is this. We pray, that they will be filled with the knowledge of His will and His spiritual wisdom. So if I could kind of push one thing toward Kate as she grows older, it would be that she would be completely in His will. That she would be focused in His will. Not only that, but that she would have spiritual wisdom. Not just worldly wisdom. And it's not that you can't make it through life with worldly wisdom. It's not that you can't. Many people do it every single day. Folks in their 70s, 80s, 90s who have no clue who Jesus is, and they live by the world's law. They live by the wisdom of this world. Now, that is okay for this world. That is not okay for the next. And so as I kind of approached this, I thought, what a great thing to pray for our ladies. Ladies, what a great thing for you to pray for yourselves, for your mothers, for your sisters in Christ, that you would know, that you would have knowledge of His will, that you would have spiritual wisdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It won't be on the board. I'm just going to read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. When Jesus comes and the disciples are asking Him, Lord, how should we pray? How should we pray? And He's giving them an example. He kind of prefaces everything in the Lord's Prayer with your will be done. Like the desire for Jesus is for His Father's will to be done in His life. Now here's kind of where we kind of give you some cliff notes or footnotes on this. And I would say this, if it is good enough for the Son of God, it is good enough for the disciples of God. So if He says, Father, not my will, yours be done, then you as a disciple of Jesus should follow suit with that. Lord, it is your will, not mine. It is not my plans that are going to make this work out. It is your plans. I want to be on point and I want to be aligned with your plans and your will. So, and I think most of us kind of just, I don't know if it happens, life happens, right? Stuff happens, you just kind of get tangled up and whatever, and you just kind of shoot off and do your own thing, right? I just got this, I'm going to do that, and you don't think about that. Paul writes and says, listen, some people say, today we'll go here, we'll make this sale. Tomorrow we'll go here, we'll do this. Everything that you do, everything that you have is completely dependent on Jesus. And the quicker that we kind of understand that and realize that, I think the better off that we will be. So ladies, seek out His knowledge of His will. Seek out spiritual wisdom. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asks, right before He will be taken to the cross, He asks His disciples, could you stay awake and pray with me? Could you stay awake and pray with me? Three times He asked them, three times they fell asleep. And then He says this in His prayer to His Father. So overwhelmed, He's sweating blood. He says this to His Father. Father, if there's any way, man, if there's any way, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So there again, good enough for Jesus, good enough for you. Okay? He does it. He leads by examples. We are to imitate Christ. Follow in His footsteps, that you would seek after His will, that you would seek after His knowledge. Because here's the deal, I don't think you're ever going to be completely at peace until you're kind of walking in that will. So here's kind of how that breaks out practically for us. So I think over the last couple of weeks, Stephanie won't start work back until early August, late July. And so, and I've had some time off here to be able to kind of spend time with Kate and Stephanie or whatever too. And Stephanie's doing a lot of the work. I'm just kind of running. I'm like the water boy. She's like the head coach. Hey, I need this. Give me some water. I need a chicken biscuit, whatever, you know, go and do it. And so as I'm kind of like figuring this out, I have a bad habit of like, hey, I'm just going to go run to the store. Like, I don't really have anything to do. I just want to kind of go to the store to like, just kind of feel productive, right? Stephanie's like, why are you always leaving? I'm like, I don't know. I'm coming back, you know. I'm like a boomerang, man. I'm coming back. You throw me, I'm coming back. But here's what's happened. It's like, I've kind of been like, you know, Lord, what am I supposed to do in all this? And God's just kind of subtly said, be there for your wife. Be there for your kid. Stephanie and I were talking. It's like, well, all I do is feed her, burp her, put her down, and kind of play with her. That's right. That's good. Does that make sense? Like, don't try to like overcomplicate this. If you don't have a kid, and be like, I think we need to start an orphanage in Uganda. Time out. Like, hold on one second. So if you're wondering, ladies, what is God's will for my life? Let me tell you this. You got a husband, you got kids, you start right there. That's primary. Like, focus in on that. Stay there. Listen, God will open up a door, He'll shut a door, He'll leave you in the hallway for a little bit till He opens the door. Don't get too far tangled up in this, because I know people that said, I spent 30 years trying to find the will of God. Well, man, let me tell you this. I had a professor in college, and he told me one time, I had several offers and opportunities after college to go and do ministry in different places. And I said, well, I'm not sure where to go. And he says, you'll know the right place. I said, what if I go to the right place and it's the wrong place? He said, listen, if you go to the right place or the wrong place, whatever, you blossom where you're planted. So if you guys want to kind of know what you should be doing, you blossom and flourish exactly where you're at. And when God wants to move you, He'll make that move. So second prayer is this. pray that they will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So not only do we pray for knowledge and that they would know His will, but we pray, ladies, that you guys would walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. That the way that you present yourself, the way that you speak, the way that you act, the way that you carry yourself, the way that you treat your husband, the way that you treat your children would be in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. We desire that. Now here's the deal. I'm not talking about behavior modification. We're just like, stop being bad. Like, I'm not talking about that. I want you genuinely to want to please God because you are a daughter of His. That's the desire, that you would please God in everything that you do. Simply because you are His daughter, you are His child. I think at some point in the parent-child relationship, sometimes the kid does things because they don't want to get in trouble, right? You ever treat a God like that? Like, I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to do X, right? I don't want Him to be mad at me, so I'm going to give a tithe check. But here's the deal. When you're doing that kind of out of a fear-based mentality, you end up like disliking yourself because you can't keep it up. Or you feel like you're never good enough. And so I'm asking you to be obedient out of a joy, because you want to please Him. So I think probably one of the coolest things was when I was late in high school, my parents would ask me to do something, and I had just become a believer at 18 years old as a senior, and like they asked me to do something, and I kind of wanted to do it. Not because I thought they were trying to like hurt me, but because I said, they're my parents, and I probably should be obedient. And it was kind of a joy-based thing instead of a fight. So when God has asked you to do something, or He's called you to something, or He's asked you to leave something alone, if we do it in joy, then there's always a blessing that follows that. So Tim Keller has a great quote. It's what he says. He says, listen, fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves. Does that make sense? You tracking? Fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves. Why does it make us hate ourselves? Because when you repent out of fear, or because you're scared, you're walking on eggshells around your father, what does that do for you? You're not doing it because you want to please Him or out of obedience. You're doing it so you don't get beat up. Or so you don't feel like you'll get beat up. Some of us may have grown up in homes like that, where it wasn't a pleasing thing, it was just a domineering, dominant thing with our parents. God does not want us to come to Him because we are fearful of hell, but He wants us to come to Him because we want to be in His presence. So He says, fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves, but joy-based repentance will make us hate our sin. I want you to repent out of a joy because of what you have been given, eternal life, so that when you sin, you want to run from it. Like, you want to get away from it. You don't want to do it because you know that that's not pleasing to your Father. Third prayer. I pray that they will bear good fruit, that you ladies will bear good fruit. Now, I feel like this comes with a little bit of a caveat to it. How many women in here, when you walk around your house, just good fruit just flows off of you? Anybody? Anybody feel like that? A little bit? Probably not. Not in my house. It's like diaper rags going everywhere. Pacifiers are flying everywhere. Like, I'm a really OCD dude. Like, really, I like my stuff. I have a label maker in my garage. I label everything. Even though it's obvious that's a radio, I still have a little sticker that says radio on it. And I literally cannot keep our kitchen sink clean. And there's always laundry to do. And I hear that gets worse as they get older and you add more to the army. But as I'm thinking about this, I'm going, bearing good fruit might not always look like what you think. Am I right? Like, bearing good fruit might not always look like what you think. You may have worked and worked and worked, and it's still not working. Nick has told me on numerous occasions, he says, Will, being a father is like having about 30 phrases on repeat that you just say over and over. Pick that up. Don't eat that. Stop biting him. Put that down. Yes, sir. Son. Like, you just say the same phrase over and over and over and over. And you may say, when in the world is this going to bear some fruit? Now, maybe 14, 15, 16, he says it and thinks like, got it dead. And he's like, yes. Listen, your labor, ladies, listen to me. Your labor for your family should not be decreased. Your intensity in which you are a mom and a child of God should never decrease because you don't see fruit. God is faithful. God is faithful to the woman who will endure to the very end. Do not give up. Do not give up. Paul's very clear about that. Endure. Keep going. You will produce good fruit. Listen, you may not always see it. You may not always look at things. Look at all these trees in my house. It's so great. There's just fruit everywhere. We just look at all this good fruit. We got so much, we just give it away. That rarely happens. So it might not be on your terms. And that's going back to God's will. Like, I'm okay, Lord, with your timing. With your timing, I'm doing that. So just because you don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. And it does not mean that you're not planting seeds for there to be fruit, future fruit. So, fourth prayer is this. Pray that they will increase in their knowledge of God. So this is a huge one right here, ladies. Listen up. Since Kate was in the womb, kind of in her little pod, before she came to the real world, we have been reading Scripture to her and over her, okay? Now that's not to make anybody feel bad or guilty because you're like, well, I didn't do that with my kid. Listen, I don't care if you do that or you don't do that right now. It is a good thing to start, and I don't care if your kids are 50, okay? Read the Bible over them. Pray over them. If we really believe that God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword and that the speaking and the preaching of the Word can draw people to repentance and transformation, then you need to be reading and covering your family in Scripture, not GMO-free sunscreen or food. Man does not live on bread alone or just milk, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is something that needs to be forefront in your home. It has to be. So, Kate and I do a little daddy devotional in the morning. I don't know how much she understands. She probably doesn't understand much. But we're reading it, making a habit out of that. So that hopefully she will grow up not with a negative opinion. Like, I don't want to. This was me. I was like, I don't understand the Bible. That's how I grew up. I have no clue what the Bible says. Nobody read it to me. 18 years old, become a believer. 19, go to college. Had never even read any of the Old Testament, maybe one book. Maybe parts of it. Didn't even know where to find it. You know where Psalms is at? I don't know. Do you know where Psalms is at? I took a Bible test entering into ACC. Made like a 7. So what do you want to do? I want to be a preacher. Ha! Good luck with that, kid. Listen to me. Read the Word to your children. Ladies, listen, look at me. Read the Word to your kids. I'm not guilt-tripping you into this. I'm just telling you. There's power in the Word of God. And some of us have missed that because we feel like the world's information is better. Does that make sense? Like, we feel like the world's information is better than that. Just because 50 people shared it doesn't mean it's applicable to you. Be careful that you don't fall into that trap. God's Word is never going to fail you. And let me tell you this, just I soapbox on this a lot. Wednesdays and Sunday mornings is not enough. Listen to me. Your spiritual climate of your household has nothing to do with what Will or Billy says on Sunday morning. I need you to hear that. Again, your spiritual climate in your home, your atmosphere that you create, has zero to do with what I'm doing up here or Austin's doing back there. That is supplementary. That is supplementary to what you need to be doing at your home. The church will not save your children. Jesus will. I need you just to hear that. VBS is not like an excuse to go, well, I really hope it happens this time. Stop that. You need to be investing. You are in turn, if you will, if I could use this analogy, you are, if you will, many pastors to your family. Husbands, hear me on that. Moms, hear me on that. Invest the Word of God into them, and I promise it will not return void. So, be in the Word. Number five is this. We got five, then six, then we'll close up. Pray that they will endure with patience and joy. So here's something I see all the time. Moms, it is hard being a mom. Am I right? You feel like, how can I do all this? You got kids running everywhere. Ladies, families, it's just very difficult. And Jesus is saying this, if they persecuted me, if they hurt me, then you also as a follower of mine will be persecuted. That means that times will not always be good. Life will not always be joyful. Things will not always work out the way that you want. Kids will get sick. People will get hurt. Things will happen. Marriages don't always look like something off of a movie. It doesn't always happen like that. And Paul is saying, endure all of those things with patience and joy. I know that's hard, and it's easier said here than it is done in your home or in the car when you leave. I get that. Some of you left arguments at the door and you're kind of praising the Lord right now, and when you get back in the car, you go pick it right back up. If you're laughing, I'm probably talking to you. So I'm just telling you, that's what will happen. So I need both mom, both dad, everybody in the family to be pursuing and on the same page. Because if you're not, this will be destructive. Endure with patience and joy anything that you might go through. James chapter 1 tells us this. James 1, 2. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials and temptations of various kinds. Because in the testing of that, like in the testing and those trials, your faith will be hardened like a rock. It will be made steadfast, is the word. So every time you go through an event that you think you can't handle, you ever done that? You're going through an event and you were like, look back and go, how in the world did we get through that? You ever done that? Like literally, like I just look back, I'm looking at Kate this morning, I'm going, holy moly, we was in the hospital, I was hyperventilating. It was before I was like, you're pregnant, what's that? Oh, I can't even, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm feeding that baby like it ain't nothing. Changing diapers. Just doing my thing. And going, Lord, how did I do that? And it's funny because when you look back, you go, look at God sustaining me the whole way through it. Look at His mercy, His grace. It was every single day. Every single day. I know she'll be a teenager soon and I'll be crazy. But right now I'm just going to enjoy that she can't be very mobile and she's in one spot. So we pray for patience. We pray for joy. James says there's a promise with that, that your faith will be made steadfast if you do that. Last prayer is this. Ladies, pray that they will give thanks that they share in the inheritance of the saints. Look at me. Don't take no more notes. Look at me. Every lady, look at me. I want you to hear this. If you are a believer in Christ here today, I want you to hear this, because some of you need to hear this because you have not heard it. And there will be no confusion when we leave. If you are a Christian in here today, ladies, then you are a daughter of the Most High God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? You have been vouched for. You have been bought at Calvary. You are justified. That means you are not guilty. There is no spot. There is no blemish. God has made you right and has made you whole because of Jesus. When God sees you, He sees His Son's blood covering you and He goes, that one's mine. You can't have her. Do you understand that? Some of you need to hear that because your identity is not in Christ. It's in something else. Let me tell you this, if your identity is not in Jesus, then you will go to bed every night going, I don't understand. There will always be the what if or I don't know. Constantly that will play in your head because you are not satisfied, because here's the deal, you have not submitted to the one that made you. That's a problem. If you have not submitted to your Maker, like, you can't truly understand what has been done for you until that happens. See, and this is just bad theology that's happened in the church. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that it's happened. But there's this thing that goes around that goes, well, we're all just sinners. Well, we're all sinners, you know. That's a lie. If you were born again, you were not a sinner. Will you sin? Yes, but you were not a sinner. You were a saint. I don't know why that garbage gets talked about. It's stupid. Sorry for that. It's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Like you just walk around kind of kicking in the dirt, not really sure in who you are. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're not saved. If you are born again, you are sealed to the day of redemption. Do you understand me? So listen, you don't walk around with a swagger because of that, but you sure as heck don't walk around with a limp. You walk around boldly proclaiming that you are a daughter of God. Everything that you do, everything that you have, everything that you will accomplish, everything that you can give is through Him. Because we walk around as if He has not resurrected or if He has not paid the debt. Some of you are writing a check to the mortgage company and the Lord's gone, already paid it. Already paid it. Why are you making checks to the, why are you making a payment? I've already paid it. The debt has been paid. You cannot work your way out of sin. Jesus can only rescue you and pull you out. When you became a daughter of God, listen to me, you were given a dress, a white dress. It is spotless. It is blameless. You think your stain guard works well? Try the blood of Jesus. You are free and free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. Therefore, if anyone, listen to me, therefore if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That doesn't give you liberty to just sin and do your own thing. It doesn't give you liberty to do that or freedom to do that. But I hope that you would desire to please God in every single way. And when you mess up, and you will, the cross catches you. The blood of Jesus covers you. Verses 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1. We'll close up with this. It says this. He has delivered us. That's God the Father. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Do you get that? You have been transferred from darkness to light, taken from Satan's hands and put into the Father's. Do you see that? He does that through the Son. It's the only way for that to happen. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has loved us so much that He came and He died for the sins that you would commit. Before you was even thought about those sins that you would commit against Him, He pays the penalty for. There is no greater love story. Show me a greater love story and I will renounce my faith. You cannot do it. I've watched my wife the last 3 weeks and 5 days. Man, live a very, very selfless life. Committed to her baby and her husband too. So kind of like a baby and a kid. And I have been so overwhelmed at what she can do as a mom. And she had no training for this. We did like a 4-hour little class. Wasn't even that good. And she just, boom, there it is, be a mom. And she just is able to do it. Let me tell you something. I love that little girl more than anything. And there's not a thing that I wouldn't do for her. And to know that my Father in heaven loves her and me more than I could ever love her. Are you kidding me? There's no greater love story, no greater picture. So listen to me. You tell your kids that story. And you read that over your family. And you pray that for our community. And here's my prayer, that we would raise up a ton of Kates and other kids too. And that they would be a solid rock in this church, not just for the next 20 years. I'm talking about the next 100 years. That they would shake Villa Rica and they would shake this state, shake the nation, as they go out and proclaim boldly that their hope is not in this world, but that it is in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we